Virgin Radio. Now, this is interesting because we've only really, I suppose we've had to have a warning about artificial intelligence, about the things that can go wrong, because this all just seems to have come on top of us so quickly. I mean, it's been around for a long time. Oh, it has. Good. I thought it might have been.
Absolutely, yeah.
And all this information is coming in from here, there, and people are getting a handle on it. But there's a lot of things that can go wrong, which is you're aware of course. And you're, of course, you are the director of the WA Data Science Innovation Hub, so you'd be on top of everything at the moment, wouldn't you?
Yeah, so it's our job inside the hub. We're a state government initiative supported by Curtin University to ensure that people understand what artificial intelligence is, how to use it within their organisations, and have a nice balanced view of where this technology will take us, because it will change our lives in many, many ways.
Give us a hint.
Well, this afternoon, for instance, the Hub is running an event showcasing how artificial intelligence can actually change the lives of people who are living with disabilities in many ways. So we're very excited to showcase some of the more positive use cases around artificial intelligence.
That is great. We do want to hear that. And we really want to know so much more about how we can use it effectively and safely. And what about the public? How are we going to learn about, I mean, I don't necessarily need to, but students coming through and going into career paths, they need to know.
Absolutely. So the university here at Curtin and many universities around Australia are right now focusing on how to help students use artificial intelligence in a way that it doesn't compromise their learning, but it does also prepare them for the workplace of the future. Yeah. Now, you know, the worst case of artificial intelligence is that you get it to do your essay for you and your homework for you. But that's no good. Then you're not going to learn anything. But I do foresee a future where we will use artificial intelligence at work. It'll be like everyone will have their own assistant, artificial intelligence assistant. And we need to start engaging with this technology because it will permeate every part of our lives.
I remember a few months ago somebody I had on the program put my name into artificial intelligence, and I believe I'm a farmer.
So this is a problem that we call hallucination, where AI sometimes makes up things that aren't quite true.
So how are we going to prevent that to be the case?
Yes, so this is a problem with the early stages of the technology, because the way that the memory works inside an artificial intelligence is not perfect. It's not like opening a document or a spreadsheet on a computer where it's perfect every time. The memories in an artificial intelligence are much more fallible, almost like human memories. But they are dramatically improving this technology, and over time the propensity for these models to hallucinate has dramatically decreased. So I hope that won't be a problem into the future.
So it would probably come up as a warning, I guess, if you're trying to get information through AI, that this is not correct or something, do you think?
Well, I would say I would make sure that people, if you're using ChatGPT or Bing as a way to interact with AI, that any information that they get from AI, that they double check from
how do they do that?
Yeah, well, using the internet, using Wikipedia, find the source.
Okay. Luckily we've got that backup.
Yes, it's very important. Yeah. It's not that different from anything that you read on the internet. You really need to, these days, you need to double check the veracity of anything you read.
Now, before we get into what you want to chat about today, well, it is what you're going to do today at 4 o'clock, but it is, you've got a full board of people there, haven't you?
We do. We're very fortunate. We have an international expert visiting the hub at the moment, Dr. Stephanie Stoll, whose specialty is the use of artificial intelligence for sign language production. So this could be a technology that massively benefits the deaf community and would allow AI-generated avatars to generate sign language in all kinds of scenarios, even as simple as, the train station, to indicate, for instance, that a train was going to be late, or in other public areas, the doctors, hospitals, interacting with government services, and anywhere that an interpreter would normally be required, we might now have the ability to use artificial intelligence.
So with somebody in this particular instance, do they go to an app to get information? How are they going to retrieve that?
Yeah, so there's a few different ways that this technology is being produced, and one is via an app using avatars. It's still very early days for this technology, and it's a little bit of an unsolved problem, but we are making good progress. So it might be something that you use on your computer, it might be an app that you use on your phone.
So you'd have someone signing visually on the app.
Yeah, you could have someone signing on the app, or you could even have a sort of a big screen in a public place.
Oh, wow.
That would show the sign.
That would be just brilliant, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
I think what is amazing with technology and intelligence that we have here at Curtin University, that when you get somebody breaking into another area, you learn so much from that and improve it all the time.
Yes, so what's super important with all of these AI technologies in terms of how we help people with disabilities is that we co-design them with the deaf community in this case, or the blind community if we're working on AI for blind people. So it is incredibly important that we work together with other disciplines inside the computer science areas so that what we develop is useful and we're not just dumping our technology onto communities that we haven't engaged with. So another example is the use of artificial intelligence to actually describe images for people with vision impairments.
But I was about to ask you how you would do that.
Yeah, so if you can imagine an app that allowed you to go to the supermarket, pick up a tub of ice cream and take a picture of the back of the ingredients and ask the app, does this contain nuts or does this, what are the ingredients here? And so these are things that that are now capable with artificial intelligence models. And even the idea of an AI that helps someone with a vision impairment navigate the streets and stairs and, navigate a university like campus.
Okay, it's verbally explained to them.
That's right. So you could take a picture and you could ask the app, look, I would like to know the ingredients on this ice cream. Yeah. Please tell me if there's any nuts in there.
What about a destination, though? You said, that they could go, like here at the university.
Yeah, well, let's say that you're at the university and you say to the app, I need to navigate to the Curtin FM radio building.
It's hard,
and isn't it? And it's not easy for people who, have their sight. So for someone who was vision impaired, the app could actually guide them there based on what it sees.
So it would like be if you were on Google Map or something.
It would like be like it would be a bit like that, but the app could also look at Google Maps, so look at a sign on the side of the road and interpret the sign for a person.
That is amazing. I mean, it's just an add-on to whatever help. They may have a dog, they may have a cane.
Yeah.
So they'd have to have earplugs, I guess, to be hearing all of this?
Yeah, something even as simple as Bluetooth headphones would be a good start.
How far away do you think this might be?
Oh, so this is happening right now.
Oh, this is what you're doing today.
Yeah, so we are going to demonstrate some of this technology today, yeah.
Who to? People in the area?
We're showing people to the general public. We have this event at 4 p.m. today. We've seen incredible interest from the general public. It's sold out, and we're very excited in the hub to have Dr. Stephanie Stoll, and we also have another expert, Jessica Whedon, who is going to be talking about how AI can be used to assist autistic adolescents navigate certain social situations.
How would they do that?
Well, the thing about an AI is that it's able to explain certain social interactions in a way that might be useful. And this is a brand new area of research. So if people on the spectrum or people with autisms are having some difficulty understanding an interaction or need some guidance about a social interaction, Jessica's looking at how that might be used, AI might assist that process. And again, it's very early days. We don't know what will work
How do you think, what direction do you think that would go in? Would it be a visual bit of guideline from something, from AI or
I think in
audio?
Jessica's case, it's more of a written interaction. Ask the app, maybe you type into the app, look, I had this interaction and I don't quite understand it.
Would people that are on the spectrum, would they have that understanding to question? Because they see things a bit differently at the time, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. We must remember that people on the spectrum aren't, often incredibly smart and very gifted in many areas. Yeah. And it's often the case that they find it easier to communicate or work with a computer than they would with other people. Now, if that is the case for certain members of that community, then this technology could really help them understand how how certain social interactions have played out that they might not have understood.
That is great, isn't it? It really is happening rather quickly, it seems.
Very quickly,
yeah. Well, that's what you've been saying. How far are we going to go with this, do you think?
Look, I think in the future that AI will impact every part of our lives, and it will change the way that we interact with a computer. The way that we interact with technology or computers will be much more natural, and the way that we talk to each other will end up being the way that we interact with our machines.
It won't take away the face-to-face, communication that we have normally, is it, with people?
I would hope not.
No,
I think
right.
that's something that the AI would never be able to do.
Can I be very basic here? Google, we know, we love, we use it on a daily basis for just about everything. How is it that AI are that one step above just Google? Where do they get this information? They go from all around the world?
They do. Okay. So Google searches every website on the world to return
right.
the information.
That quickly, like that?
Just like that, just
oh
instantly.
My gosh.
Now, AI does the same thing, but the difference about AI is it's able to understand your query in a very natural way and answer it in much more detail than Google could ever do. So it really is a step above what we're used to with search engine technology from companies like Google.
Can I ask you how it came about? Do you know that?
Yes, so artificial intelligence people have been working on this for many, many decades. But recently we've had both a huge amount of data available on the web, and also our computers have gotten more and more powerful. And so we use a technique called neural networks to feed in all of this data, and these neural networks are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And they're starting to be able to do useful things like work for us in the way that ChatGPT or Bing AI does.
Would it help in all areas of our lives in the future? For example, somebody looking to choose a career, if it could be suitable for them, because you hate them doing 5 years and then saying, no, I don't like it.
Well, it's interesting. So one of the ways that we could use AI inside the university here at Curtin would be on a regular basis, engage with students and check that they are, enjoying their coursework and what they feel they might like to do differently and how that relates to where their future career goals are. That would be a great use case.
It does make a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Something like that. What about personally? If somebody, wants to know about themselves and people around them, and can there be a safety angle here?
Yeah, so one interesting thing is I think that we'll end up having sort of personal assistants. So we have on our phones, we have Google Assistant, we have Siri, if you use an iPhone. And these things are very basic. You can ask them basic questions. But in the future with AI, you'll be able to say things like, hey Siri, ring up the bank for me and replace my credit card. Or, hey Siri, ring the transport department and make sure that my address details are up to date. And so we're going to, it will be like having these personal assistants, and these assistants will know everything about us. They'll know our internet banking passwords. Mm-hmm. They'll know everything about our personal lives. So it's very important that we keep this information secure.
That's right, yes.
Because if someone was to gain access to that, obviously they would know a lot of details about your life and be able to, steal money or steal your identity in some way.
With not having to sort of come up with all that information yourself and go and find all this stuff, what's it going to do to our brain power?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, you could argue, what did calculators do to our brains, or what did computers do to our brains? Mm. Certainly I can no longer do multiplication and division in the way that I used to be able to do when I was a child, because I would use a calculator for that now.
But I find that we learn so much through technology now, and I'm just wondering if they solve a problem for you. I suppose we can if we get the answer from Google as well. I guess, it's sort of an advanced area of Google, isn't it? Not simplifying it.
So AI is sort of the next, next most advanced use case on Google. It's it allows us to interact with something like Google, but in a much more natural way, in the same way that we would ask things of each other.
Mm. So physically, can it help in any way for us to make the right decisions and, look at crime and, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so it's very, we've got to be very careful that we don't sort of leave our decision-making to something as important as crime or legal issues to AI, but any kind of administrative process at work, AI could certainly make quicker, and we just need to ensure that we have a human in the loop there to always make that decision.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, whether our brain power starts to get a bit duller if we've got everything done for us.
I hope that the opposite happens. I hope we get a bit sharper. I certainly use AI to help teach me things. It's very good at tutoring and teaching.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's an amazing tool in that respect.
Well, the future is very interesting. Every day we're learning something more, and I think this area of looking after people that have got these challenges would be just wonderful. Have you experimented with any of them at all?
Well, yeah, so these things are all very new, but the main areas where we're seeing interest is the use of AI for sign language production to help the deaf community, the use of AI to help people with vision impairments in being able to describe what's happening in front of them or describe a picture.
Yeah.
And then this interesting work that Jessica is doing in terms of how we can use AI to help people with autism who are on the
So it is being trialled.
Yes, these trials are happening
right
now.
And they're very positive.
So far, the results are very promising. Yeah.
Well, congratulations. I think it's absolutely wonderful, Alex. And you're in the middle of it all, aren't you?
Yes, at the Hub, we are very, very proud to be talking to West Australians and Australians across the nation about what this technology means. So thank you very much.
How advanced are we here at Curtin with this?
We're doing very well at Curtin. There are many researchers working, lots of applications in health, in agriculture, in space. There are so many applications that... I feel very excited about what Curtin is doing.
Gosh, you must wake up every morning thinking, wow, what am I going to do today?
Every morning there's something new coming out in the world of AI, Jenny. It's quite amazing.
It's wonderful you can share it with us. We really appreciate it, Alex. Thank you very much indeed. We'd love to hear about the upgrade of what else we're going to deal with in the future. As long as it's all healthy and all good, we have a better planet, the environment's looked after, we're going to be okay.
Thank you so much, Jenny.
Thank you, Alex.